All right, so Kevin Barker, we have back-to-back wins for my Blue Jays over the Baltimore Orioles. 6-5 today. Yesterday, of course, the last night, I should say, the Jays won on a walk-off. Suddenly, they're two games under 500. Everything looks good.
Yeah, look, the at-bats look a little bit better. Vladdy looks like he's, you know, got a little bit better uppercut to his finish because he's on time with his lower half. You know, if you could get Bo to start maybe honing in a little bit more on the strike zone, which would allow him to get the barrel to, you know, a few more quadrants, that would be better. But the at-bats for me look better. I said this to you last night. You yelled at me.
I did not yell.
Yeah, you did.
I did not yell. You were making a big deal out of a fly ball to right field.
I made a big deal about, like, there's like five people that actually look like they had a plan and could execute it at the plate, right? A lot of the times it's not about the result. It's about whenever they take a pitch, does it look like if they swung at it, they could put it and play hard? And you're starting to see that, I think. Some better at-bats. Hey, look, we don't, you know, get crazy here, but it's just the small things that all of a sudden you're starting to see them because the dude on the mound's give him a good start, give him a chance to, you know, have a decent inning and for maybe Vladdy to come up and run into one. So, yeah, this is boding well for the Blue Jays.
Vladdy hitting a 3-run homer in the third inning. All the Jays' runs came with two outs, and it was actually – the score doesn't flatter the Orioles. They did get Adley Rutschman hit a home run in the eighth inning, and then Jimmy Garcia gave up a 2-run pinch hit shot to Ryan O'Hearn, hence the final score 6-5. But you were right. There was some really clutch, even though I know clutch isn't a thing, there was some really clutch, too. That's what I'm told.
Boy.
The khakis tell me clutch doesn't exist.
I want to say something so bad to you.
But, yeah. Coming through with two out, and it's funny because the All-Star voting I think started yesterday, and
who would you vote for?
Well, I'm just kind of, let me tee it up a bit here. Our friend Jim Bowden of The Athletic was previewing his All-Star picks.
Was there a J on it?
First base, he's got Josh Naylor starting,
mm-hmm.
but he's got Vladdy making the team.
Yeah.
And he's talking about Vladdy's numbers. Now, you know, the home run, we've talked about this. The power numbers haven't been there. But Vladdy's getting up to 300. And if you hit the All-Star break where you got, like, you're hitting 300, and you maybe have 12 to 15. I mean, I can see where he might have a shot at it. I really do.
It's called begging.
No,
it's called begging. You can seriously sit here, look me in the eye, and tell me that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is an all-star.
Let me finish.
You're trying to sell it to me.
You know how that process goes.
I do know how.
You know how that process goes.
I do know.
There's a fan vote element of it, but there's also the element of not just one player. Not if you look at Bowden's article.
Yeah.
There is a way that can happen.
Basically, he's the only guy to vote for. I mean, that's basically what he's trying to tell you.
No.
Who else you voting for?
No, I mean, Berríos is, you know, how,
again, position players.
This is picked by managers.
Position players.
Well, no, because that's not what he was saying. The only guy to vote for. He was saying he thinks Vladdy's going to make it.
Okay.
On the basis of his performance. Now, he's also, you know, he's saying he expects Vladdy to tick up, but and Vladdy will probably be there anyhow for the home run derby. So you would think, which is another story entirely. No, but I was just saying the fact that people are even mentioning him, even considering him 3 weeks ago, not a chance.
For me, he's not an all star. I mean, he's had a decent year. He's not. I mean, first baseman's supposed to thump. They're supposed to have, like, you know, the Gunnar Henderson with the 18, 19, 20 homers and driving in almost 50 runs by the All-Star break. I mean, it's
the that point
what
is,
he's
the
doing.
Point,
I understand the, what the he's
point,
doing with the
point
average
is, the point
where he
is,
came from to where he is now.
Right.
Yeah, I understand.
The point
I
is,
get
two
it.
Weeks ago, you wouldn't have, nobody would say that. But nobody would even consider it.
Yep.
And now you're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel.
I just like
for
Vladdy. I like that the lower half is on time, which allows him to have the little bit of uppercut in his finish. That's the big deal, right? That's what everybody yells and screams at. Yes, Justin Turner, you know, what's been the problem lately, and it's always about timing. Every hitter's exactly the same thing. Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Justin Turner, Davis Schneider. I mean, you name a guy, it's a lot about timing, right? And then you graduate to what you don't want to swing at. So, yeah, I mean, this is sort of what you're getting to. If you can be on time, because he has tons of talent, good things probably are going
to
happen.
So here's what we're going to do, Dave. We want to welcome our friends on Sportsnet TV. And the first thing we're going to do is go to the victorious manager, John Schneider.
John, with Vladdy's home run there, what have you liked more from him this last month? The production's been way up. What's been better?
He's taking it, well, home runs production is good. He's having really good at bats, you know. I think, that's a really big swing. You know, you look up, you have one hit and you have three runs. You know, that's really, really important there, that swing. But I just think his at bats have been so consistent, getting the ball in the air, even the single off the wall. I think his at bats have just been so consistent. But this type of hitter that he is, really.
You've said a lot of times over the years that he's a hitter first, mm-hmm. before the power. Do you like exactly where he is now? Do you allow yourself to want more power out of that when he's going so well?
I think the power just comes, you know, like today, he can hit the ball out anywhere. You know, I want him to be a hitter first and have the quality of at-bats that he's having. The home runs are going to come because he hits the ball so hard.
It's a series split in June, but does it feel a little bit more significant just kind of knowing how you had to come back after the first two?
Yeah, I'm really proud of the guys, you know, after that second game and they come back and they walk it off yesterday and then just a really good game today. That's a big win. You know, it's June and it's a split, but, you know, going by the first two games of the series against a really, really good team, to come back and get two is really big.
What have you liked better about how your team has faced these guys in comparison to even last year?
Yeah, they've been some close games, you know, minus the first couple here. I think we're playing them really well. We're pitching really well for the most part, again, minus the first two. And you know, they're going to score, you know, it's evident in the last inning there, they can put up runs in a hurry. So I like the way we added on runs today. I like the pitching performance, from our starters and, you know, it was a hard fought series for sure. And just couldn't be happier with the way they kind of responded after the first two.
After his last start, you and Yusei both said that, he had gotten a little predictable. With his pitch selection, did you feel like he did a better job of that today?
I did, yeah. I thought him and Jano were good. I thought the changeup was good. He got a couple strikeouts with it, I believe. And, you know, when he's throwing his slider and curveball with two strikes out of the zone or, you know, strike to ball, he's really good. And I thought his fastball was electric early. And, he made pitches, you know. But I think, you know, just when you're familiar with an opponent, you can't be too predictable. I thought he was kind of keeping them back and forth and got a lot of swing and miss today.
That was kind of where I was going to go as well. But was that lack of predictability, because that was the thing that he talked about in Detroit and in that last start, was that the key to the success today, or was there something else?
Yeah, I think his stuff was on today. But I think when he's throwing his changeup the way he did today, that makes everything else a little bit better. And, yeah, not being predictable is kind of, you know, one of the main points of it, too, when you're familiar with the team. So I know there's guys in that lineup that have hit him well over the course of their careers and, you know, overall handled them pretty well. But when you're keeping guys in between and you're throwing pitches where you should throw them, usually it's a pretty good sign.
Justin Turner, another hit today. He's got 6-3 games after he had 8 in May. Is he back? Are you seeing what you're expecting to see from him?
Yeah, again, I mean, I've been saying it's kind of a matter of time with JT. He's been a really, really good hitter for the last 10 years and don't want to take away from him being sick and under the weather and going through a tough couple weeks. But, yeah, his at-bats have been, you know, kind of starting in Chicago, really, with the two-run single against Hill to right field. And then you can kind of see him getting a little bit closer and closer. But it's, you know, he's in a good spot right now.
And just, I mean, you're 3-3 at this point in the season against a team that has a Gunner and a Grayson on it. How does that feel?
I like my Gunner and Grayson a little better, even though they got good. Those are good players. But I thought, you know, 6 games, we played them, you know, minus the first two, we played them really well, you know, and they're a damn good team. But I'll take my Gunner and my Grayson. I don't know about that, dude. I don't know. He's pretty good. Rookie of the year, man. All right, keep working, but I'll take my boys over anyone.
Okay, thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
Schneider, John Schneider talking about his two
That's
sons.
Cute. That's very cute.
Good names to have.
Absolutely. They're baseball names.
They are baseball names. 416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. It is Blue Jays talk with Blair and Barker coming on the heels of a 6-5 Blue Jays win over the Baltimore Orioles. A split of that four-game series. If you want to reach us via our text line, 590-590 is the number to shoot us a text on. And again, please, as always, name and location is preferred. It allows us to personalize things a little bit. Adrian in Scarborough, he must have been thinking ahead or thinking along with us, Kevin. And I swear to God, that's not why I threw that out there. Which Blue Jay should be all-stars? Any starters? I mean, I'll jump in this. No, I don't think there's any starters.
No.
You know, I think Jose Berríos is the likely guy. I'm sure fans are going to try to stuff the ballot boxes for Davis Schneider. Have at it. I mean, that's part of the deal with all-star voting. It is fun. I know that... I think people have finally realized that the game is meant to be fun. The game is for the fans, and basically the fans can pick whoever they want. And
yeah.
And we always know that somebody's not going to go to the game.
You could throw some Dalton Varsho in there, too. Lose the team in homers and RBIs. I mean, he's probably not an all-star, but
yeah,
if you wanted to do that, that's fair. I mean, he's turned the corner on some things that he's had to accomplish mentally and
I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody. No. I don't see anybody starting.
Jimmy Garcia.
I mean, if somebody stuffs the ballot box.
The two pitchers, right? Garcia and Berríos. Yeah. That's probably your two picks there.
I think Berríos would. To me, I mean, what it's June. It's June 6th, so we've got more than a month to go. But to me, Jose Berríos is this team's all star. And you know, as I said, if Vladdy keeps going, I mean, people are going to vote for Vladdy probably.
Sure.
Again, I've got to think he's going to go to the home run derby if asked, which I wouldn't have a problem with it. Why not? Why not? But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. A lot can happen between now and the All-Star game. What did you make of Yusei Kikuchi today? You know, it was an interesting discussion with John and some of the reporters there about predictability and, it's kind of surprised me. I was, because we've been talking a lot about possible trades involving this team, and you say Kikuchi's name comes up because he's a free agent. But if you look at Kikuchi's numbers against potential AL East playoff teams, they're good.
Yeah.
And I found that back and forth a little interesting about it's not like you're trying to create an element of chaos, but you can't keep throwing the same thing at the same time against guys. What did you see today that suggested he was mixing things up a bit?
I'm not in that camp. I think that he's sort of like a knuckleball guy that you face. It's rarely that you see lefties throw that hard.
Okay.
Today, his fastball, he was throwing it harder, more consistently.
Yeah. He was at 98 right. I believe he was 98 right out of the gate.
He wasn't pitching at that, but I mean, it was.
No, but he hit 98 out of the gate.
It had some hair on it. Like, he established that velocity early in the game, which would tell, you know, the guy standing on the on-deck circle, you better get this thing going. I mean, he didn't throw a ton of sliders. He got a couple of swing and miss strikeouts on the changeup. He had one on the slider.
He had a couple on the curveball. Yeah.
Like the fastball, when he's doing that, he threw that fastball 49 times. He got 26 swings. He had 11 whiffs. He had 6 called strikes on that. He was throwing the curveball slower. Like, when you throw that hard with the fastball, you're getting that much action with the fastball. I mean, swing mode action.
Right.
And then you can throw the breaking ball. He had 5 whiffs and 4 called strikes. It was just enough with the breaking ball, right? But for me, it's all about the velocity. When you got the velocity that he has being left-handed and can establish getting called strikes with it, you're forcing a hitter to get in swing mode. There ain't too many dudes, not even Adley Rutschman, can let that thing travel mm-hmm. when it's thrown that hard, right? And as long as he ain't throwing it down the middle, that would enable him to not have to abuse the slider, which he didn't throw his slider a lot. He threw more changeups than sliders. Then now you can make basically be a curveball four-seam guy and sprinkle in the other two if you want to sprinkle those in a couple times through after you see a guy more than one time. So, yeah, for me, it's the velocity. For me, it's the vinegar. You know, it's the – you could tell he's angry. Like, you know, he hadn't had a start, a good start in a while. He wanted to have one, and it's a big start. It was a big win for them. That's exactly what the doctor ordered, right? You wanted one of your better pitchers to have a good start and mm-hmm. your best hitter to show up and get a big hit, and that's exactly what happened.
416-413-3959. We call it the back leg line. You call that number up. You hear Barker's voice. You leave us a question, a comment, a recipe, a joke, directions.
To where?
I don't know. Brandon in New Brunswick, he called up.
Should David Schneider be at the remain in the leadoff spot the rest of the way, or should they alternate and have like a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Springer alternate between those three? Let me know what you think.
Yeah, Vladdy's not leading off.
No, Vladdy's not leading off. George Springer, let's just leave George Springer where he is, like down hitting fifth, sixth, seventh. Let's just, let's just see how that looks. I mean, I have no problem with, you know, with running out the lineup the way it is now. This is just me, Kevin. I don't think you can do anything too dramatic to this lineup until Bo starts hitting. That's just where I am with this. Yeah. I mean, I don't want Justin Turner necessarily hitting second. I don't mind having Varsho up there every now and then against a righty, but this to me is kind of what you got right now. And until Bo gets it going, I think you just leave things the way they are right now. Now, once Bo gets it going, then maybe you can have a discussion about moving him into the number two spot or doing some things there. But
Put Varsho in the two hole.
Correct.
Leave Vladdy in the three hole. You can move Davis down a little bit, right? You'd rather him hit a home run one for four with a three-run homer.
You need Bo going. Before you make any move.
Absolutely. Well, Davis is six for his last 30, right? I mean, it's sort of, there you go. We should not talk anymore and let the music play.
Here, I heard that music.
I would think that, you know, the perfect scenario for me anyway, Bo sort of is that guy. If he was going really well, the way he handles the bat, the way he can go line to line, the way he can hit line drives, the way he can hit good pitching, the way he can hit good breaking balls. When he's good, he would be, for me, the leadoff guy, right? Mm-hmm. Just that guy that sets the tone and hard for a pitcher to get in a groove just because of who's leading off and those kind of things. And then you can sprinkle in whoever you want to sprinkle in the 2-0, who's ever hot, whoever's on the mound, bat pass, and all those kind of things. But I don't know if they really have one. I mean, for me, it ain't Springer no more. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, leave him down there, let him do whatever he can do to help the team and
play good defense and away you go.
Because I don't want him getting one more at bat than everybody else gets. Like, I'd rather Davis Schneider get one more at bat. I'd rather Vladdy get one more at bat. I'd rather even Bo right now get one more at bat. Even Dalton Varsho get one more at bat, other than, you know, Springer getting them. So I think I'm with you right now. I think it is what it is, and Davis sort of looks like that. You better make a good pitch, or he can hit a homer off you. I think that's sort of what they're banking on.
Sam in Port Hope, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
My question is regarding a cleanup hitter. I always thought that the cleanup hitter was supposed to be somebody that was your best hitter that could get your one and two and possibly your third person home. I don't understand what Toronto's doing in the cleanup role right now. Maybe you can answer that for me, please. Thank you.
You have answer for that, Jeff?
I mean, I always thought the best hitter, depending on the manager you talk to, I always just assume the best hitter in your team hits second or third.
It's called a clean-up hitter for a reason.
Yeah.
People that are standing on base, clean them up. Have them standing at home. They don't have one of those.
Yeah.
So to answer the caller's question, I've been asking this question for two off seasons. I have no idea. I mean, they're banking on everybody having the best season they've ever had on the back of their baseball card and all in one year. Good luck. That's why they seem to think that they didn't have to go out and make major moves and bringing in IKF and Kiermaier and, you know, Turner. That's good enough. So I'm not sure. I think they're more banking on, you know, Springer having a bounce back season, Vladdy hitting more homers, Bo taking a step forward, whatever that step forward would be, Davis Schneider doing a little bit more, maybe Dalton Varsho feels a little bit more comfortable. I think they were more banking on that than actually going out and either trying to or having to give up somebody they didn't want to trade to get whatever they needed to get or spend the extra money. So answer your point or question.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I don't think yeah. I don't think they have a cleanup hitter.
No, and, well, we know they don't.
More to the point, I think you're right. I don't think they care.
I don't think they do either.
I don't think that it's necessarily.
I don't think they think they need it.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
They haven't done it
in the two off seasons.
It's their philosophy.
Yeah,
it's their whatever we may think of it.
Their information and their coaches philosophy. They think are good enough that they could basically run over anybody they want to run out there in the cleanup spot, and the job will get done. So.
Yeah. I mean, last year it was Brandon Belt, and I mean they started Dalton Varsho with it last year. It's you know, we always talk about run producers and cleanup hitters, et cetera. But I just philosophically don't think they believe such a thing exists as a cleanup hitter. And again, that's something that you know it's kind of an organizational decision. I will say this though too. Cleanup hitters generally cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's paying, as much as it's got a big payroll, it's paying a lot of money for starting pitching right now. We talk about this. I think it's the third behind the Dodgers and maybe the Phillies now because of the contracts the Phillies gave it. I think they have the third most expensive starting rotation in baseball. Certainly it's third, second, or fourth. It's in the top four. And that's good. Starting pitching is important, but there are people when you talk to them that'll say, you know, maybe this roster needs to be rebalanced a bit. But that isn't going to happen.
I think in the East with where the Orioles are at and the big bad Yankees, I mean, you get what you pay for. I think that's where it's at, right? Yeah. If you want to compete, you got to spend money on both sides of the ball,
right? But they've been very clear. They're building and have built this team around pitching and defense.
They
pay a premium. They gave Kevin Kiermaier a lot of money for run prevention, more than anybody else was going to give him for run prevention.
Absolutely.
416-413-3959 is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. It is a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. The Jays with a 6-5 win over the Baltimore Orioles. They're off to Oakland. They're 30-32. Getting to 500 to me is the before we talk about anything with this team, getting to 500 has got at least be a start. It's 100 games left in the regular season after today. They've already played 62 games. They go on the road to Oakland.
I don't know what it would take to force a front office hand, but I would think it would start with being at least 500.
Team. Yeah, I don't even know if that would.
Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea.
There's nothing. I just don't know if there's a hand to be forced right now. I mean, you know, I read Ben Nicholson Smith's article on Sportsnet.ca today, and it seems as if they're being very, very cautious. With Spencer Horwitz, they really typical of this organization. Something that should be really straightforward seems to be. It seems to require six or seven people to be involved in the process.
Maybe he's working on something.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody's working on something. But again, you know, at his age right now, if he's hitting up, bring him up. I just do. It's not a 22-year-old kid. Bring him up. If it doesn't work, send him back. I mean. You know, there's a process here. You got to tick all the boxes, right? Go to Jeremy in Ottawa, ticking all the boxes. Here.
Great game today, but I'm still seeing Bo is looking a little bit lost at the plate. He's getting some hard hit balls, but they're just not falling in. If they had to go and make a trade with Colorado and like Bo Bichette for Ryan McMahon, what do you guys think that would do? McMahon's a good average hitter, power hitting left-handed bat. Just want to hear what you guys think. Thanks. Have a good day.
Bichette
going back to Colorado.
I don't think that moves the needle. I think you need both. That's where they're at. Like the how
sorry,
good,
what do you
like he's saying give one up for the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I don't know if that deal
that's not gonna happen.
Bo's got McMahon's got a long term contract.
It would take a lot to get McMahon, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Bo would be enough.
I would think maybe Bo plus, but I'm just gonna look. I think McMahon's under contract for a while, whereas Bo is a free agent. Mm-hmm. And a free agent at the end of next year, and a free agent's chances of re-signing in Colorado aren't great. Although, you know, again, Dante Bichette, he's royalty. The Bichette family's royalty, baseball royalty in Colorado. I just don't think we're going to see. I don't think we're going to see either of them moved.
Sure doesn't seem that way. And again, they're not a better team if they eliminate Bo and bring in somebody else. Like Bo plus somebody else.
There's no pressure to get rid of payroll. I still think they may take a run at one or both of them in the offseason once some of this money's, you know. Once some of the money's off the table, because I could never see this team spending to the luxury tax 3 years in a row, or paying luxury tax 3 years in a row. And part of that is we've started to hear people like Hal Steinbrenner express this. See, I'm of the opinion now. I wrote this a couple of weeks ago, but I'm of the opinion now that you need to get rid of the luxury tax in baseball. You're starting to hear people like Hal Steinbrenner say, you know, Hal Steinbrenner would cut a check tomorrow to sign Juan Soto if there was no luxury tax. His point of view is, and I've kind of come around to this, and I know other big market owners have said too, you know, hey, I'll pay $30 million for a dude who's going to hit 30, 35 home runs. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to cut a check for $35 million because of a luxury tax so that money can go to somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll put it towards a player.
Sure.
I may put it towards three players.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to cut that check to give the dude who owns the Oakland Athletics.
Nope.
And I'm kind of coming around to that. And that I think is the issue with a lot of teams, with a lot of big market teams. Like, I know, I mean, if I owned a big market team, I'm not counting pennies, but I sure as hell don't feel like cutting a check to MLB so they can give it to the freaking Miami Marlins so they can get rid of all their players. So having said that, though, I think that when you look at the players the Jays are probably going to lose this year, there may be enough money to at least take a shot at signing
maybe
Vladdy or Bo. And that's
if they
where,
want to
that's,
sign.
That's yeah, they may not, but nope. that's where I think we are with them.
I know the first question. Again, we had this conversation yesterday. I know what the first question I would want to ask.
What else are you going to do?
Absolutely. Am I the last thing you're going to do? Do you believe in me so much that, I mean, money would make me be real quiet. But I'd still have to ask the question.
416-8. Wrong number. There you go. That's the other one. That's the other Blue Jays talk number.
You can do it.
It's like the one time I accidentally tweeted out instead of 416-413-3959. I think I tweeted out 416-319-4953 or something. And some poor guy is like, why? I think the Jays should trade. He's picking up his phone and go, what the hell? What is this? Why are people leaving me all these calls about the Jays? 416-413-3959 is the back leg line.
Finally pay you the big bucks.
590-590. Yes, indeed. That's why I get the big bucks. Let's go back to the text line. Matt in Thunder Bay. What are we going to do about that fifth starter spot? Do we make a trade for someone? Okay. The reason I mentioned that is we haven't talked about this yet today, but Alek Manoah was scheduled today to be examined by Dr. Keith Meister. He is the Texas Rangers orthopedic specialist. He's a guy that a lot of teams send their pitchers to, a lot of agents send their pitchers to. I have not heard anything on that. Again, I think we're dealing with time zone differences there. So I don't have an update, and I haven't seen anything. And Derek, Jenner, Mark, if you you know, if you hear any updates, please just get in my ear. I don't know if there's been any report. I think we'll probably find out tomorrow. We'll have John Schneider on tomorrow, and maybe we'll find out. But, I mean, right now, Yariel Rodriguez apparently looked good in his last outing in Buffalo.
They're trying to stretch him out. I think they're trying to get him to 70 pitches, I believe I heard from John.
To me, he's the guy.
Yeah, I would think so.
I guess you could do the whole Trevor Richards, Bowden Francis thing again.
Yeah, your pen suffers because of that.
Your pen suffers because of it. And you know, given where we are right now without Jordan Romano, I'm not entirely certain that I want Trevor Richards only being available once every 3 days or once every four. No, as a matter of fact, I know I don't. I want that's maybe the second most trustworthy arm I have in the bullpen right now. So that would be, you know, where I think they would go for that fifth starter. And maybe Yariel Rodriguez needs one or two more starts at AAA.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess they could go out and probably sign somebody or something like that or acquire somebody. But if you're signing somebody who isn't with the team already, they're not going to be ready. Maybe you pick somebody off the waiver wire. I mean, I guess that's possible. But right now, I think plan A, Kevin, again, operating under the assumption that Alek Manoah, even if he doesn't need surgery, that Alek Manoah is not available for a while, I would think option one has to be Yariel Rodriguez.
I would think the next start, though, this time around would be that bullpen thing again. Like, however they want to work that.
I would imagine.
Yeah, whoever they want to start, depending on who they're facing. Then I think maybe either the next start or the start after that, it would be Rodriguez. That would be my guess. And, you know, again, maybe this will sort of help out a little bit if the at-bats continue to get better. Like that will help out a lot. You know, they are scoring a few more runs.
Which is,
you know, not the worst of things. And, again, not every team has five legitimate starters. Like, you're going to have to piece it together in one of those. And, you know, Rodriguez seems to maybe have – learned a few things about the last time he was pitching at the big league level and can control some mechanics and have a little bit better finish and maybe not abuse a couple of the pitches that he shouldn't be throwing. Refine that a little bit more, throw strike one a little bit more, go a little bit deeper in games, and, you know, that would help out too. So, yeah, I think that Francis Rodriguez thing, that's probably what you're going to be seeing a ton of.
Timothy in Vancouver.
Yeah, Kevin, I just want to question on something a friend of mine brought to my attention that the top four in the Jays batting order. We're coming off a couple of good games here, so I'm going to be a glass half full. But an observation he made is that the top four guys, of how many times they're hitting out of bad counts, 0-2, 1-2. Mm-hmm. I just wondering if maybe an assignment for you. Can you maybe get the numbers on that of how many times the top four have come to bat with facing 0-2 or 1-2? And is that maybe they're just pressing too hard or approach or what your thoughts on that might be? And a footnote, I just thought Josh Naylor, he went for, I think, $5 million for 1 year this year, and how good he would look in a Blue Jay uniform right now. Anyway, have a good day, gentlemen.
Yeah,
I mean, Josh Naylor would look awful.
I mean, I can get some people.
He'd look awfully good in any uniform.
I won't look that up, but I can get some people to dig into that for you and get the answer for you. I mean, there's been quite a few, you know, in the top four, like that would take some doing. It ain't good. Like offensively, we know this, and pressing and, you know, some mechanical issues and some all over the place approaches. You know, well, you listen to Dan Schulman talk, and he's in tune with all this stuff and talks to, and Buck Martinez the same way, talks to all these people, how the approach changes all the time, right? It was don't swing at that, get your pitch. Now it's be very aggressive, swing at everything. Like, it's like if I tell a hitter that, what the heck are you telling me? Like, how about just this? Go away from me. I'm in the big leagues. I probably know halfway what I'm doing. And it would be real simple if I simplify this thing and maybe just look right. I know this sounds, and people roll their eyes because of the khaki thing and just how much you overthink every pitch. It is sometimes as simple as I look right down the middle. I don't go outside that until they force me to go outside that. I look right down the middle. And the Blue Jays lineup, I think, is talented enough if they don't overthink it. It just looks like a ton to the caller's point to where a lot of the times they squeeze the bat too hard, they're trying too hard. I know Bo was, you know, sometimes trying too hard, and he's a human being. He wants to help a team win a baseball game or 50, and that's sort of what takes place. So,
it didn't score in the first inning again today.
Yeah, I.
What are we at? Are we at 27 now?
Yeah,
that to me is just, again, we've talked about this a lot, but that's when your plan is supposed to be in effect. The other pitcher isn't worn down yet or anything like that. He's got his plan. He's going out. You got your plan. You're going out. You're fresh.
Yeah, I mean, basically,
they had a nine pitch first inning against a dude making his major league debut.
Like, yeah, I mean, he's a decent pitcher. Like, he can add and subtract. He can elevate the fastball with two strikes. Like, he can do some things there. He got a good little slow breaking ball. He's under control.
Yeah, he's
like, he's tunneling all that
prospect stuff.
Like, you can tell why they called him up, right? And, you know, I think what that is basically that first inning thing, somebody's got to run into one. And that's not what really they're good at. You know, it's that got to get as much information as possible. Like, if I don't have overloaded information, there's no way I'm going to be able to have a competitive at bat. And I think that's basically what you're seeing in the first inning. And not having Bo has hurt that first inning stat.
Yes, it really has.
It really has. Like, that's the one part of all that if he was raking and doing his thing, that would not be a conversation. But he's not, and it is. And maybe they'll turn it around against Oakland.
Is there a chance to get back to 500, although we thought that they had an easier part of the schedule, and they went, what, 8-5?
9-7.
9-7 against the easier part of the schedule?
16 games.
Why was I thinking 8-5? Three of those games were against somebody legit, weren't they?
No, I don't know.
Anyhow, but the point is, back then we were thinking that was their opportunity to make some ground up. So I'm going to be really cautious with Oakland.
Oakland's not a very good team.
I'm going to be very cautious with Oakland. 416-41, you know why. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. Mike in Honey Harbor, Ontario.
Talking about the wild card and their proximity to it, so to speak. So obviously there's some night games tonight, but they're 3.5 out. And the funny thing about all those teams in between, there's another one 3.5 out, and the other three are 2.5 out. So you're within sort of a game of everybody who you have to pass. So it's a really unique wild card situation. Do you think that makes it a lot more attainable for the Jays? Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how unique it is. I mean, I think it's the same. It's what the wild card was supposed to do. To me, it's not how many games behind you are. It's how many teams are between you and where you got to go.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you're basically, to make up a game, you've got to hope that four other teams lose in the same night. In newsflash, that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
So that's what I look at when it comes to standings. And after listening to Alex Anthopoulos, I also look at run differential. And when I look at run differential right now, the Blue Jays' run differential after today is minus 43.
Whoa.
Tampa Bay is ahead of them at minus 47. The Yankees are in first place. They're at plus 115. So there's, what, 168 runs difference between the Yankees and the Jays.
So if Alex was running this team, he'd be dumping players.
He'd probably be dumping the hell out of players. In terms of the wild
card. Which is probably what you should do.
In terms of the wild card now, to get into the wild card, right now it's held by Minnesota. They are five games over 500. Jays are 30-32. They're 3.5 back. Run differential, they're minus 43. The Twins are minus 2. So, but between you and the Twins are the Red Sox, the Tigers, the Rays, the Rangers. The Astros have really, I mean, they've really fallen out of it. But again, their run differential, they're only minus 3.
Yeah, you know what that means? That means basically that instead of you having to go out and get one player, if you're in the negative 40s, you got to get three or four players that would move the needle, right? That's the point, right? And that's almost impossible to do. Like, you know, Alex did it and went out and got the four outfielders, and one of them won the MVP in the World Series. But that doesn't always work out, because you got to have a plethora of things to subtract to get in there what you want to get. So I think that's why a lot of GMs look at the run differential, and that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to ask you. Think the Jays could go 8-2 over a 10-game span against some good teams?
No.
Then there's your answer. Because that's what sooner than later they're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the 6-4s and the 5-5s and the 4-6s, you can't do that. Like, it's just they're too far behind. There's too many teams in front of them. They're going to have to start going 8-2. Think they can go 8-2 against some good teams? With the pen they got and the lineup they got?
Yeah, I think they need, if they want to take a run at the wild card spot, this team to me doesn't do it. You got to make some ads.
Yeah.
And I would suggest, I'd suggest sooner as opposed to later. But
last off season.
Yeah, I was going to say like sooner as in January.
Last off season.
Given all the thought that's going into whether or not they should bring up Spencer Horowitz, I don't know if a bold move is necessarily on the horizon.
That can't be true. Like they're sitting around going, why does this make sense?
Read Ben's article.
What's going on?
Read Ben's article. Everybody's talking about Spencer Horowitz. He's on the horizon. Okay. Why is he only on the horizon? He should be in the lineup. He should be in the team.
They had three lefties. This is where they're at. They had three lefties. Clement was up in the sixth inning with two outs.
And they didn't pinch hit.
And they didn't pinch hit for him. And he's not an everyday guy.
Nope.
He plays like twice a week if he's lucky. And they had three lefties on the bench that could pinch hit against Tate, who, you know, lefties like Tate. Like he's been giving up some hits against lefties. And instead you leave Clement in there, and that worked out and it made sense. Like, you know, the breaking ball and the pulling and the getting the big hit with the two outs and
but
the
there
two
are
strike.
Managers but who would have gone right there.
That tells you what John thinks of the three lefties he had on the bench. That's the point here, right? Is
yeah.
Why are you afraid to call up a guy who could probably come off the bench and give you a quality at bat and instead of not using it?
Like, maybe he hasn't ticked all the boxes yet. I just find it, I found it funny. And again, and I would direct people to read Ben Nicholson Smith's article in sportsnet.ca about how everybody's, I mean, and I'm not certainly not criticizing Ben here, but I'm just saying everybody's talking about Spencer Horowitz. And what are we talking about him? Bring him up.
Yeah.
I just.
What's the big deal, right?
It's an organization that has a minor league system that most people think is below average or in the middle of the pack. Or not, sorry, below average, mm-hmm. below the middle of the
That's
pack.
That's being nice.
I am being very nice.
Yeah.
They are churning and thinking and plotting and analyzing. And maybe seeking divine inspiration someplace about whether or not they should bring up a dude who, I don't know, what the hell's he hit over 162 games at AAA? 345 or something? I mean, they literally treat every minor leaguer like they are the crown jewels.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm sure it has something to do with money.
Over-cacified.
Bam. I'm sure it has something to do. Jeff, it always comes back to money.
Daniel Vogelbach's not making a ton of money.
I'm assuming it has something to do with whoever's up and how many's up. I'm with you.
Maybe they're waiting for Joey Votto. Or maybe they don't want to take Spencer Horowitz out until Joey Votto's right. I have no idea. 416-413 is the back leg line, 5-9. See, now I'm getting frustrated. I went a whole damn, 30 minutes without being frustrated. 590-590 is a text line. I'm so frustrated right now, I got to take a break. We'll come back with more Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm not that frustrated. On the Sportsnet, just a bit. The Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. All right, welcome back to Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Blair and Barker is going to be on 5 to 6 tonight, right after the show. Somebody better go and tell them, remind them they're going to be on.
First I've heard of that.
Caleb Joseph will join us, and Andy McCulloch of The Athletic. They had
never heard of
them. He and Chad Jennings did a rather fascinating article on the disappearance of the Latino starting pitcher. And for those of us who grew up with, I mean, Pedro and...
Good ones.
Spectacular Latino starting pitchers.
It is odd.
It is really odd, and I know Jose Berríos has talked about it and has talked about wanting to develop more pitching in Puerto Rico. It really is a fascinating story, a fascinating look at something that I think it's happened under our noses.
Yeah.
And as good journalism, as a good article does, it got us thinking. So Andy's going to join us in the back half of Blair and Barker. So that'll be around 5:30.
Yeah.
Chris in Brampton called us on the back leg line, 416-413-3959. It's still open. Operators are still standing by. Leave us a voice note, name and location. And if we like it, we'll get it on the air. And if we don't like it, we may get it on the air anyhow, too. It just depends on our mood. Chris in Brampton, though, we like this, I think.
We are made up of a team of pitching defense and run prevention. How about us trying to trade one of our top pitchers to get some impact bats? And by that, I mean a cleanup hitter and another impactful bat. Wouldn't that make sense? Because no matter how great your pitchers are, if you can't score one or two or three or four runs, it makes absolutely no sense.
I mean, the obvious area of strength, thank you for the call, Chris, the obvious area of strength in this team is pitching. But it's not as strong. I don't think it's as strong as we thought it was in spring training, because all I heard coming out of spring training was the Blue Jays finally had some depth at AAA. Paolo Espina, Ricky Tiedemann. Well, the Jays have no depth at AAA. Poof. I mean, they signed Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Aaron Sanchez. I love Aaron Sanchez. Great dude. One of my favorite players I've ever covered when he was here. But, so there's no depth at AAA. Yariel Rodriguez, they're trying to work him back into starting. And, again, we'll have to wait and see what happens to Alek Manoah. Now, if Alek Manoah is shut down for a long period of time, and, again, he is visiting a specialist today, if he is shut down for a long period of time, I would suggest your pitching depth.
Yeah.
You probably don't have any.
What would a 35-year-old Chris Bassett get you? What would this Kevin Gausman get you? I mean, the only guy that you would think, you say Kikuchi. I mean, it's,
and I made the point with Kikuchi
maybe for a half a year, right?
Kikuchi, yeah, you would.
Yeah,
Kikuchi's numbers against playoff. This is why he
would help.
I'll tell you what. If I'm the Baltimore,
but that
Orioles,
don't mean you're going to get a ton.
No, but if I'm the Baltimore Orioles, And I need help starting pitching again, depending on what happens with Kyle Bradish. I'll be all over you, Shaker.
Absolutely.
Dude pitches well against the Yankees, pitches well in Yankee Stadium, pitches decently against the Rays. Put Yusei Kikuchi on that staff.
Yeah. He can help you in the playoffs too, right?
I think you'd be able to get by with Burns, Grayson Rodriguez, and him, and yeah, you
put him in there too if you wanted to in the playoffs. So absolutely, it's just the fact of what you get for him.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure that you get a ton for him.
Yeah, and if you trade a pitcher right now, you're just running the white flag up.
You are, and the only person I think you get a haul for is Berríos, and why the heck would you get Berríos up? Like, that's what you're looking for, is Berríos of the world.
He's not. Overly expensive. He's, from everything you hear, a really important dude in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
He's a guy you probably want when you're bringing in the next group of young guys to replace Bo and Vladdy. You'd probably like to have Jose Berríos in that group as a guy who can kind of be a mentor, as that very calming presence. And I mean, the guy just takes the ball.
Yeah.
He takes the ball. And I've said this to you, and I know you feel the same way. There are games where Jose Berríos isn't very good, but I never come away thinking, I got cheated in that game.
Yeah, but I am in the camp where nothing's not an option. Like, they have to do something. Like, something has to be done. What that is, look, they're getting paid a lot more money than me and you are to figure that out, and they got a lot more smarter people digging into this, I'm sure. Been digging into it for a while. Fingers crossed. Hopefully that's the case. That can figure out something for me needs to happen. I'm not saying get rid of a good starting pitcher, but something needs to happen, Jeff. No?
Yeah. I mean, but something's needed to happen for a while, and we do have to keep in mind, and I do feel that we are obligated to say this. It is not unusual for there not to be a lot of transactions, major transactions, by June 6th.
Yeah.
So, but
less bidders. That's what it is, right? Need more teams in the hat.
I would suggest there are very few teams that talked about going to the postseason with realistic expectations of going to the postseason that had a more obvious hole than the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and I think
if you had said to me in spring training on June 6th the Blue Jays were going to have trouble scoring runs, I go, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, let's ask the real question. Are the Jays right now today a playoff team?
Well, no, they're not.
Then
they're not.
I mean, I'm sure that's what they're going to bank on, right, is they draw it out long enough where the team's going to basically decide for them. May already decided.
Andrea in Thunder Bay sent in a text. I thought of this, Kevin. I thought of you when I saw this text. I'd like to know why Kevin Biggio is not showing more respect.
Ooh.
He plays well, amazingly well, considering how little he's being played this year. He plays even better when he's playing consistently. Why is he being played so little? Thank you for the text, Andrea. Is he playing that well when he plays?
Sitting 200 with 2-9. He's got 22 hits. That's why I'm looking it up here. There's a reason why he's not playing.
And you pointed out again today, he was sitting there on the bench,
yeah,
and John Schneider elected to go with Ernie Clement.
He pinch ran for Turner later in the game.
So
that's the reason why he's on the team right now, is pinch running for guys like a Vogelbach, like a Turner, and Kirk.
And Kevin gives you...
He's a baseball IQ freak, basically.
And
he gives you
defensive options. He gives you multiple defensive options.
He does. Just offensively, they seem to not like it. Like, I think the 8-pitch out has ran its course.
Yeah, that would not
seem to.
The sudden change in philosophy everybody talked about with the Blue Jays, but I don't know, what was it, a month ago, whenever this... You know, they realized that the stuff they were talking about in spring training wasn't working. The poster child for what they don't want guys to do is Kevin.
Yeah, he's hitting 196. Basically. He's hitting 196 off righties too. So, you know, it's not like John's going to average his, you know, when they don't look a ton at average until it's under 200 and they start looking at
it.
Like, that's... Again, it's probably not his fault because, again, like the texter said, he doesn't play really a whole ton, and he still has a little natural uppercut that he's really tried to not have as much, right? You know, he used to have that really bent upper half and, you know, the launch angle thing. Everybody yells and screams and can't wait to have the bent upper half to create that big giant uppercut in your swing to get the ball over the infield. Well, I mean, some guys can't do that. Like, you can do that to get yourself to the big leagues, David Schneider. And then when they make an adjustment, you got to adjust. And I'm not sure, for whatever reason, they seem to not want to do that.
The Blue Jays have beaten the Baltimore Orioles 6-5 today. They've split a 4-game series against the Orioles. And that's all to the good, obviously, considering, I think, how the first two games of this series started. They were outscored 17-3. There were a lot of boos at the Rogers Center in those first two games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, signs and chants, fire Atkins. And I don't think anybody's going to look at these last two games and a 30-32 record and say that they've turned the corner. But it looks a lot better right now than it did a couple of days ago. Very quietly, this team is 7-3 in their last 10, which
huh.
given where they are in the standings, isn't spectacular.
I think when the big boy that plays first is hitting homers, boy, I tell you, that lineup just it just looks different. It feels different. It makes you want to watch it. It just it does. Like I say what you want, and all the other guys, and it's nice to see Turner looking different, and Dalton Varsho and Davis Schneider, and
it's different when Vladdy bridges different. Somebody.
It's different. I mean, and going the other way now with some authority in the air, you know, and it's it actually looks like it's on purpose. Like, you know, the foot's getting down, like he's hunting that pitch to get the ball in the air with a couple of dudes on base because that's what he's supposed to do. Like, he thinks he can do that now. I think if you're a Jays fan, I'm not saying that they're going to be one of the better teams now, but at least they'd be watchable.
590-590 is a text line. Joe in Vancouver. For Barker. Good, I can just leave. Why don't you read it then?
No, it's your job. I don't get paid. I don't get paid the big bucks.
It says for Barker.
I don't get paid the big bucks.
You can't see it, can you?
I can't.
I love it. For Barker. You know, you can get glasses.
I can't see it. I'm just kidding.
Well, then read it.
No, I can't see it.
For Barker, seeing a guy like Mason Miller with the A's who throws ridiculously hard, how would you approach an at-bat? Would you like to see – what would you like to see approach-wise from the Jays? Okay, thanks for the text,
Joe. That's an easy one. I've been saying – anybody that's ever listened to me talk about hitting, I say the same thing all the time. Be ready to hit the velocity. Can your barrel beat the guy – to the quadrant that you want to hit? If the answer to that is yes, then I'm all for it. Do the Jays lineup look like they can do that consistently? There's a couple guys, but consistently, like, there's no way, no matter how hard you throw it, you can get it by me. Who can you say in that lineup is that fast? 2015 and 16, that lineup was stacked with dudes that just were so it was just leaking out of their mouth. They can't wait to get up there and just tongue hanging out. And boy, you can flip it and get me out. I'm going to chase that probably. But if you throw that thing where I'm looking, no matter how hard you throw it, somebody in the stands is going to be in trouble. They're going to get hit with a baseball. Who can you say that with? That's the point, right? Is, and for me, until you start consistently seeing that, and maybe they can't, consistently start seeing that, maybe that's why we're not seeing it. That's why
this isn't the try league. You know, this is the get it done league.
Yeah.
That's a patron saint.
That's a different thing, though. He's an MVP, and, you know, when you can't kick it to the ear like he did, and point of contact and all those things. It's very individual. It's very it's a totally different thing. Not everybody can hit the quadrants that he can hit as far as he could hit it. But it again, this is what I said. Like,
how
the
do you think he
approaches?
Given, like, there's more velocity now than there was even when JD played.
Why he stunk at it at the end of his career, right?
But how do you think the Josh Donaldson of 2015 would do now? Against those guys.
Well, I mean, that's a different animal, right?
Okay,
there's an individual that's obviously, you know, going to give you trouble. But I do think you beat him once. Okay, you beat him twice, ain't going to be as easy, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's like the Ohtani thing, right? You got him one time with the three heaters.
And
the
then
next
hit a
time
home run.
He hits a home run. It's that kind of thing, right? That's, okay, I've seen it. I've calibrated that sucker. I'm going to catch it out front, and I'm beating you to the spot now. You ain't getting me on that again. That's the confusing part for me. And again, it gets back to that. Can they, Jeff, can they as a lineup do that?
Richard in Toronto.
So it's a great question.
It is a great question.
It was.
Richard, and I think it's because they're playing Oakland. We're going to see a lot of Mason Miller, their reliever. And Mason Miller is going to be, I mean, they're going to be teams falling all over themselves to get him. I would think, knock on wood, the
Orioles.
Knock on wood, the dude stays healthy. So we're going to see him, and that will be an interesting test. That'll be an interesting test for the Blue Jays. Richard in Toronto.
Whatever happened to keep it simple baseball? You know, see ball, hit ball, short to it, long through it.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like these guys are breaking out iPads and trying to get so sophisticated with information that when they're up at the plate, their hand-eye coordination seems to be a little bit behind where it should be. just your thoughts on that, Kevin, as far as, you know, overthinking. Is that the reason why Alejandro Kirk, you know, fell off a cliff as far as being able to hit one of the rest of the guys on the team? Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think that's why Kirky's not. I mean, you look at him, you play him once a week, his bat looks quicker.
Like,
right, the less you play him, the less you play him, the better hitter he is. Like, I mean, that's, how do you do that? How do you wear out Danny Jansen so much that Alejandro Kirk has to play? So, yeah, look, I think body type and just who Alejandro Kirk is. What is he? Like, he ain't an 800 OPS guy. He's a high 600 OPS guy who occasionally, hopefully, can get you a big hit. What kind of hit that is, I don't know. It's sort of like he looked the other night, right, where he's hitting some balls hard and moving some runners when he has to because his bat's quicker, because he doesn't have to play every day. The iPad thing, look, I by no means am I saying it doesn't work. It's obviously working. Everybody does it. Jays is not the only team that does that. Most teams do it, right?
It's working for a lot of teams.
It does.
Working for the Orioles.
Yeah, I don't know how much you see that. Like, I'm sure they look at, you know, I think I saw Adley do it. Yeah, I think, listen, I was seeing him. Everybody does the iPad stuff.
Yeah, and you got to remember this. You're watching, for the most part, a Blue Jays broadcast. You are getting more camera shots of the Blue Jays dugout than you are of the visiting team's dugout.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. I can guarantee you, because I watch a lot of the other feeds as well to see what they're saying about the Jays and about the pitchers. Every team's got iPads.
Yeah.
Every team has iPads.
Yankees have them. The Orioles have them.
Their players are always looking at it.
Absolutely.
And
just so happens the Jays haven't been real good. That's why everybody's pointing the finger.
Yeah.
Well, if it's not working, why continue to do it, right?
I mean,
Why not mix it up? Why not change it up? Why try something different?
We don't know what they're looking
at.
We don't know the information that they're being given. But the reason, and you're going to see more and more iPads, because if any of you have kids, you know your kids spend a lot of time in the screen.
Yep.
And that's how they learn. And it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same thing in baseball. That's kids are visual learners now. They learn by staring at a screen. That's just the way it is. It's unless Major League Baseball does something like banning all iPads from the dugout, which it won't do, or doing what F1 does and putting some sort of cap on how much money each team can spend on R&D and stuff like that, which I certainly don't see that. I certainly don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. You're just going to see more and more of it. The game is going to become, and then when you introduce the automatic, the strike zone and the challenge system, you're going to see more studying of the iPad than you are right now, because you're going to see a lot of guys studying the pitchers, you know, trying to figure out how things are working.
I would think nowadays hitting should not be as hard as it used to be. Used to be they would set you up. They would throw certain pitches to get you out in other quadrants with a different kind of pitch. Do they do that now? No, it's mainly how hard's he throwing.
Yep.
Like, what's his top end velocity? How do I get ready enough? Do I have to get it started sooner? I can still remember hitting coaches when I played, when I would ask, how hard's he throw? What's he throw with two strikes? They would give you the answer, and the first thing out of their mouth was, make sure you get it ready. That means get it down sooner, because he's a throwing it harder. I would think it's hard. They've never thrown harder, Jeff. Mm. I would think it would be simpler. Like, if I get it down and look for that one, nobody else can hit that spinning stuff anyway if he throws a good one, because of how they locate them and how hard they throw. It's just hard to do that consistently. So why wouldn't I simplify it as much as I'm looking in this quadrant for the straightest one he throws? How can I get athletic where my eyes see the ball as soon as it leaves his hand, which will give me a chance to beat the guy to the spot? I would think, this is just me, I haven't been in a clubhouse in forever, on a bench in forever, on a team in forever, but I would think it'd be simpler. No? Am I overthinking this? Maybe not. Maybe there's no way you could think of it that way. You have to give.
You're overthinking it by underthinking it.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's, I would think, though, if, you know, not everybody's oozing talent like Ohtani or Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman or the highest Acuna Jr. Like, not everybody's like that. Everybody sometimes has to simplify it and look for that. I don't know.
Squeeze one more caller in. Wayne in Etobicoke.
Wayne.
No one ever actually talks about the scouting when it comes to, you know, our farm system.
We do.
I want to find out, ask you guys, when it comes to pitching, you know, with other organizations have really found, you know, a lot of pitchers basically that are up and coming, and they seem to be, you know, pretty good at finding pitchers that have velocity, have the velo and everything else. But we actually seem to not find those in particular pitchers. I want to ask you guys a question. Why do you think that might be with our scouting? You know, hitting seems to be pretty good and fielding, but for the pitching part, what is the problem?
Ooh. Okay. I mean, is the hitting being really
good? See, I was in spring training. I think most of them guys are so hard. Like, I think that's the easiest thing to find. I think they've done a really good job finding those guys.
Well, I mean, I don't know about a really, really good job. They have some guys who are hard throwers. They can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that, I would think that part of what you want to do when you're scouting a pitcher is, he throws hard. I wonder if he can stay healthy. Now, you can't, you know, Mike Soroka, you can't foresee a dude tearing his Achilles twice. Like, stuff is going to happen.
Yep.
You know, even Alek Manoah, stuff is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a concern when I see guys like Brandon Barriera, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been hurt since they had him. Ricky Tiedemann's been hurt. These are guys who are getting hurt, and they're being babied. Like, they're not being force-fed.
No.
So I would be lying if I said I've done a deep dive into how the Blue Jays scout, but
I'm not sure they'd tell us anyway.
I don't think they'd tell us anyway, no. But all I can tell you is the minor league system is not highly thought of around the game. And that's, you know, not me talking. That's everything you read, everything you hear from people who make it a point of studying the minor league system. I mean, I made the point, Keith Law, whose opinion on minor league systems, and he's one of five guys whose opinions I really trust. He loves Arjun Namala. He the first round pick from last year. He's listed him in his top 50. This is like, what, 17 years old kid?
Yeah.
That tells you something when that kid automatically becomes your top prospect. That tells you something. So at least in Keith Law's thinking. But, yeah, as far as the velo and the pitchers go, they just, for whatever reason, haven't been able to keep a lot of guys healthy.
I know a lot of this, too, is philosophy, right? Last year it was pitch down. That was big with Petey, is keep it in the yard, pitch down, right? Like, it's the breaking balls down, it's the sinkers down, it's the fastballs down.
That shouldn't have anything to do with how you're looking, what you're looking for in an 18-year-old kid in high school.
Yeah, I would think if you're a scout, it's easy to go find a guy that throws hard.
I mean, I guess. 6-5, the Blue Jays have won, so we have just completed a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. But don't go anywhere, because now you got a winning edition of Blair and Barker with Caleb Joseph and Andy McCullough. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Bowmanville and Port Hope, home of the Quantrills. Shout out to Port Hope. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.